word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. On Thursday afternoon, I set off for my weekly shopping trip. I noticed that the tone of my whole day was impacted. What used to be such a normal part of life has morphed into a stressful, awkward, and somewhat dangerous mission. It begins with two shopping lists, one for my family and another for my parents. And I have to lather myself in hand sanitizer and strategically plan for the trip. At the door of the store, I'm greeted. Both me and my cart are sanitized. Signs post the new state mandate that only people wearing masks are permitted to enter and shop, a dramatic reflection of the rapidly changing landscape. You enter with a goal to touch as little as you can and escape quickly. In the produce aisle, a man redirects his wife as a person seems en route to pass too closely. In my attempt to shop for my parents, I select the wrong item and have to return it. A woman watches me, and I feel the need to apologize. I have to wait in a line 3 deep to take my turn selecting eggs. A woman and I meet at the turn of an aisle, and we try to maneuver around one another, and she turns to me and says, "That was a smile." I stopped and made eye contact. She explains, "You can't see it under this mask, but I was smiling at you." People are generally kind and polite. This space where you are bound to encounter others, whether in the actual shopping or just in the touching of things, there is a silent, uncomfortable edge. Just maneuvering my physical body, let alone the emotional impact of this new social space, is taxing. Friends, we are all strangers living in a strange land, trying to find our way in this disorienting way of pandemic life. Our brothers in the passage today find themselves in a strange way as they walk along the road to Emmaus. They are leaving Jerusalem since the Passover festivities have concluded, and they're traveling along a busy road with many people making the pilgrimage back to their home villages. This Passover was strange. Everyone is talking about the news. Jesus, the teacher, healer, and prophet, had been condemned and crucified. And today's news, on that Sunday morning, added yet another mystery. The tomb where he had been buried was empty. These were strange times. The two men walking along the road to Emmaus, living now in what seemed a strange land, were hopeless. As they recounted their story, they said, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Their hope was gone. I've been reading a book called Just Mercy, A Story of Justice and Redemption by Brian Stevenson. It's an autobiography where Stevenson shares his battle for justice as he defends the poor, the wrongly condemned, and those on death row. He shares a short story written by W.E.B. Du Bois in 1903, it was written, and it's entitled Of the Coming of John. It poignantly illustrates the disheartening power that a violent, unjust act can have on a community. John is a young African-American man from Georgia who was able to attend college because his whole community invested money to pay for his college tuition. Since black children could not attend public school, John would return to their community and educate their children. After graduating with honors, he returned and successfully convinced the white judge to allow him to operate a school for black children. Empowered, John set out to educate the children. He also shared lessons on racial freedom and equality. The white judge ordered the school closed. John was distraught. On his way home, John encountered the judge's son assaulting his sister. John reacts violently, striking the white man on the head with a piece of wood. In retaliation, the furious judge chases down John with a lynching mob he has assembled. John was the entire hope for this community. Brian Stevenson reflects on this powerful short story, writing, "I had never before considered how devastated John's community must have felt after his lynching. Things would become so much harder for the people who had given everything to make John a teacher. For the surviving black community, there would be more obstacles to opportunity and progress and much heartache. John's education had not led to liberation and progress, but to violence and tragedy. There would be more distrust, more animosity, and more injustice. The community would be desperate for some hope of justice. It's a strange land when all that you had hoped for, all that you had invested in, is violently and unjustly taken from you. It leaves you in a powerless place. For the Jewish community now exiting Jerusalem, there are rumors and an empty tomb. Passover is supposed to be a time of celebration. Instead, the people leaving the city are disheartened, in fear, and hopeless. It's all so strange that it actually takes a stranger to help these men move from this sense of despair and hopelessness. When we encounter new people, when we open our hearts to them, when we are often transformed, their story changes us. When the men plead with this stranger, "Stay with us," Jesus joins them for dinner. They break bread. Jesus blesses it. In this moment, the men recognize Jesus, the risen Christ. They recognize in themselves the fire, the burning joy and hope when Jesus is walking with them. In the resurrection, we know that Jesus is and always will be present in our lives. There's nowhere we can go, not even in a strange land, that Jesus isn't with us. There is nothing, not even death, that is able to stand between us and life, between us and the hope of justice and peace. While teaching, one of my first grade students was picked up from school early one afternoon. His dad had been murdered while on a business trip. This little boy was thrust into a strange land. Life would never be the same. Over the next few months, I could watch the deep grief wash over his whole body. I invited this student to draw whenever he felt the need. And soon after his dad's funeral, he shared a picture with me. He had drawn his dad buried underground with great attention to details that he explained to me. And over top of his dad, he drew a layer of earth and then green grass. And right over the top of his dad's head, he drew this huge flower growing out of the ground. It was the biggest part of the picture. A single beautiful flower. It took my breath away. Life and death visibly held together in one moment. This child, in the midst of such a profound tragedy, discovered somewhere deep inside of him the belief that even in this terrible death, something beautiful was possible. In death, there is life. That's hope. For me, that flower is the God of life. It's Jesus on Easter. This little boy taught me an important lesson on how to live beyond death, to capture the spirit of the living Christ. The revelation and the very terror and strangeness of death, that a flower is possible, that's living as Easter people. Even in this strange land, In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are not strangers. It may feel like it, but our identity is in Christ. We are Easter people. We are a people who live in the spirit of the risen Christ, with the truth of everlasting life. Our lives are rooted in the God who liberates, who gives victory over death, who heals and restores. We are the little boy who draws flowers over the grave. We are a people who stand in solidarity with communities who face injustices and poverty. We are the men with fire in our hearts who race back to Jerusalem to share the good news. Jesus lives. We are the messengers of hope. What does it mean today in this strange land to be Easter people? We could be like the two men walking to Emmaus, so caught up in the spreading news that they don't even see Jesus in their midst. The road these two men were on to Emmaus was a 7-mile journey. The number 7 is traditionally identified as representing perfection. It appears they are on the road to perfection, to perfect love of God and neighbors. So we must be on this road to perfection, learning and practicing to open our eyes, feeling the burning spirit of Christ in our hearts, and welcoming strangers into our lives. I attended a webinar this week about the art of neighboring. In this strange world, the art of neighboring is all about encountering the stranger. He challenged us to take Jesus' commandment literally. Go and love your neighbor. It may seem so obvious, but for many of us, this is strange. In fact, our neighbors are probably strangers. Karen Geisiker, an infectious disease epidemiologist, explains, right now, we don't need churches to create a bunch of new programs. What we need is for the people who attend those churches to simply be good neighbors and to do it in a careful and thoughtful manner. Neighboring is the antidote to the isolation and loneliness that social distancing can lead to. The art of neighboring embraces fostering connections while also ensuring the safety of ourselves and neighbors. Here are 3 starter ideas you can easily do. Number 1, reach out to your neighbors. Actually use the phone, email, or even leave a note at the door. Remember to wash your hands and wipe down the note first before you leave it. Introduce yourself. Let people know who you are, where you live, and how they can reach you. When you see people outside, make it a point to talk to them. 1-minute conversations can make an impact. What they really stressed, the most important thing that you can do right now is learn the first names of all your neighbors. They even recommend creating a chart to keep record so that you can actually retain the names. You know, it's easy when you're walking along to meet somebody, you hear their name and then, you know, 3 minutes later you forget it. But it would mean a lot if in this pandemic you actually learned the first names of every person in your neighborhood. The 3rd thing that they recommended was to ask people how they're doing in the midst of this pandemic. How has this impacted your job and company? Have you noticed any silver linings as a result of the adjustments that this crisis has forced us all to make? Is there anything that you need or that I could help with? Have you been able to find flour or toilet paper anywhere? These are great conversation starters, right? But at the same time, they stress don't hesitate to ask for help and to share honestly about how you're feeling and doing. See, it's so easy to offer help. It's much more difficult to go and ask somebody else for help. Real relationships are 2-way streets, and when we ourselves become vulnerable in the asking and in the needing, it's more likely to trigger somebody else asking for help when they truly need it. It's easy in this world to get lost in a strange land, to be disoriented. And as I listened to this message on the art of neighboring, it helped orient me back to the basic nature of the church. The United Methodist Church is this global network, right? One of its strengths is in its connectional nature. But the truth is, its very heart is the local church. The local church is the driving force designed to attend to the community. We know our community best, or at least we should know our community best. So as we heed the command to stay home, we can focus on the central work of the local church, loving our neighbors, literally loving the people right around you. Maybe we can turn our neighborhoods into newly discovered lands, turn strangers into friends, and remind everyone that we are never alone. We are Easter people with a fire and hope of a risen Christ to share with our neighbors. Let us be on our way as Easter people and turn this strange land into safe, loving neighborhoods. Amen. This morning, our neighbors, Jim and Carol Adams, is going to offer for us some special music. They were able to escape briefly, and they came down, and the following song, The Risen Christ, has been recorded. Jim and Carol playing a duet on the piano.